Started at the Torway, Northwest London, Monday, 11th of October, Hey Cheshvan, Rabbi Peretz Goldstein, Chizuk for Cheshvan.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, first, our first avoider, and we're going to see exactly why this is, but the first avoider of the morning is we all have to, anyone, if you're here, if you're listening on the phone, if you're watching on Torah Anytime, Kana Lashon, or on the website, if you're watching live or pre-recorded, everyone please do me a favor and smile. Okay, good. We've got some smiles here. Okay, so why I'm asking you to smile, so we'll see. I was driving over here now, and I saw some simonim. There are some simonim in the air, simonim that are going in the world, that we are heading towards wintertime. The simonim obviously are. We can see the leaves are starting to turn orange. That perpetual moisture on the windscreen as you're driving that doesn't quite clear no matter what you do. There are simonim that we are heading towards the wintertime. Because this time, this month, is the month of Cheshvan, and also known as Mar Cheshvan, which some explain Mar is because it's Mar, it's Maror, it's bitter. There's a bitterness of this month. And the question is, why? Why so bitter? What's the bitterness of the month of Cheshvan? So Stei Chemed explains that the bitterness of the Marirus of Cheshvan is because it's devoid of Chagim. It doesn't have any Yom Tovim. We've come through Tishrei. Tishrei is Mali Yom Tovim. Mali with so much going on. And now we arrive at Cheshvan. There's nothing. Nothing. So that's the Marirus. So if we can explain Pshat, is that our simcha, our levels of simcha, is going to be based on the external stimulus. If we've got an external stimulus, if we've got something to be happy about, if we've got a Yom Tov, we've got Zman Simcha Seinu, we've got a Rosh Hashanah, we've got a Yom Kippur, there's a simcha, there's something there which is external to us, which is on the outside, which is then going to be ma'orer us, which is going to inspire us to experience these feelings of simcha. As a friend of mine explained, that we're very, very accustomed, we're very trained into this concept of the external stimulus of that being the cause of us experiencing our simcha. He says that we're conditioned, that there's a concept of the pursuit of happiness. You know, the pursuit of happiness means that I'm pursuing after it. It's outside, it's something which is outside of me, it's not something which is... Betzem, it's not such a bad thing. Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains by the pasuk of V'ochaltem Shom Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem U'smachtem B'chol Mishlach Yadchem, which is legabe the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We go to Eretz Yisrael, and it says V'ochaltem Shom. You're going to have a simcha, an amazing simcha, but it's tali on this achila. Why should my simcha be tali on achila? And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains that he brings a bit of a religion comparison. It seems like he's alluding to two different types of religions. We've got the Western religions, where he says the driving, the motivational force of the Western religions is guilt. Yeah, you're bad, you're wrong, you're a sinner, right? That's not going to encourage a person to feel simcha. It may encourage a person to act in a certain way. It may encourage a person to follow that religion, but he's definitely not going to feel simcha while he's observing the religion. And he says the Eastern religions, that's based on the ruach. That's the spirit. That's getting your neshama into it. That's getting very spirit. Also, there's nothing to be happy about. There's nothing to grab onto. There's nothing to grasp onto that is going to cause a person to feel simcha. But Rav Hirsch explains that the achila and the shtia and the maisim and the positive actions that we have through our heilige mitzvahs of the Torah, those are things which are going to inspire a person to experience, to feel that simcha. And that's what we had through Tishrei. We had through Tishrei. Amazing. We had the mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that we could get a hand. You could grab onto a shofar and you listen to a shofar and the achila of Yom Tov and Ein Simcha of a boss of a yayin and Zman Simcha Seinu. Shaking the Lord, it's gewaldic. There's so much to hold on to. There's so much external stimulus. But now we come to the Chodesh of Mar Cheshvan, and we don't have the external stimulus. We don't have the things on the outside which are going to bring us to Simcha. So that is why the month is called Mar Cheshvan. So that's it. That means we're supposed to be Mar. We're supposed to be bitter. Yeah, it's Cheshvan. So it's supposed to be bitter. Yeah, we don't have the mitzvah. It's not Zman Simcha Seinu anymore. Yeah, now be bitter. Chas v'shalom. Avada, we still have a mitzvah of Simcha. Still have a mitzvah of Simcha. If you're going to go on the conservative side of things, so we've got the Rambam, who explains that Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, when you're Oyved Hashem, then you do it b'simcha. That's how the Rambam understands. There's a mitzvah of doing the mitzvahs b'simcha. Tachas asher lo yavatu es Hashem alikecha b'simcha v'tuv leva. When you're Oyved es Hashem, it must be b'simcha. It has to be b'simcha. If you're going to go maybe on the other side, then you've got Reb Nachman of Breslov, who says, das heis a mitzvah. That is a mitzvah alone. Mitzvah gedoyla liyos b'simcha. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. There's a mitzvah to be b'simcha. So how can we understand, how can we arrive and appreciate and feel this simcha, even though we don't have these external stimuli that are inspiring us to simcha during this month of Mar Cheshvan? So it's not a coincidence that Sukkot, that the preceding month, yeah, before we're having this time of Mar, of Mariras, is the highest level, is that? The highest level of Simcha. And we had Sukkot, and my daughter told one of the famous Divrei Torah at our Sukkot table, in our Sukkot, first night of Sukkot, top of the list right there, that the Goyen was once approached and asked what's the hardest mitzvah to be Mekayim, the hardest mitzvah in the Torah to be Mekayim. So I know I saw around, there were a few different opinions. I asked my son, actually. He was mechavein to the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says it's the mitzvah of kibud avim. Yeah, my son understood that. For a child, it's taka very hard to be mechavein kibud avim for him. But that's the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. But the Goyen says that the most difficult mitzvah to be mechavein in the Torah is v'hayisa ach sameach. Which he says, right, v'samachta b'chagecho, okay, so you're b'simcha. So, it's not as a shver to be b'simcha on Yom Tov, it's not so hard. He says, no, the guy says, that's not the end of the pasuk. V'samachta b'chagecho v'hayiso ach sameach, which means that you're only allowed to be b'simcha on Sukkot. You're only allowed to have simcha. Which means for the entire 8 or 9 days, if as we're zeicha in chutzah, you're only allowed to experience simcha for the entire, and it's one mitzvah. It's ein mitzvah. One mitzvah of being the yom mekayim through being for simcha for the entire days of Sukkot, and that is why it's the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah to be mekayim, because we're not in control of our emotions so much. Yeah, there are triggers. There are things that are happening on the outside that get us down. Yeah, we don't experience that simcha. Anyway, I was telling my friend that I had a big, big hisairus this year from that shtickel Torah. And Baruch Hashem, I really felt that I was, you know, my simcha levels were increased based on this beautiful little Tevat Torah. And my friend that I was speaking about, and you know, he asked me to share an inspiring, you know, inspiring idea. This is what I shared with him, and he's like, okay, no. So what's the Eitzah? And then I just realized, actually, one second, I actually didn't say anything. Yeah, I just basically told this guy that the most difficult thing in the world is to be b'simcha. And I didn't actually provide Eitzah. So why is it that I was so inspired by this vort? Yeah, which is essentially the concept that it's very, very difficult to be b'simcha. And I realized that what it was that was inspiring me, what it was that was helping me to increase my levels of simcha, was just the awareness. Just the awareness that there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha. Just the awareness that I can be happy. I can be b'simcha. I can be in control of my emotions. I can actually experience simcha. I can actually, even though there's stuff going on, because there's always stuff going on, yeah? The stuff which usually induces feelings of lesser simcha, yeah, that happens, but I can still be with simcha. And I can still rise above that, and I'm not going to let those things trigger me. And that awareness, I believe, is this solution to, or the key to experiencing this simcha. The key to experiencing the simcha of simcha. I saw also, I've always heard this idea, but I saw recently, and this is actually brought down in the Zohar Kaddish, which says that the oisyos of the word besimcha is machshava. Yeah, because you want to be besimcha, you want to experience simcha, it's all in machshava. It's all in our thoughts. It's all up here. Yeah, not out there. Yeah, that's the stimulus. That's what's happening around there. But the simcha itself, to be besimcha, is machshava. It's a process. Is a thought process. So we come into Mar Cheshvan, yeah, and we don't have this external stimulus. We don't have the things which are there on the outside, which are going to say, "Oh, this is good. This is fun." Yeah, I've got all my family around me. I'm sitting in this little hut that I built with my own hands, and it's geschmack. It's to experience the Chag, to experience Yom Tov, to experience Sukkos. So we come to Cheshvan, and we don't have any of those external stimulus. But there's plenty of other reasons to be besimcha. There's plenty of other mitzvahs that we mekayim every single day. We have a mitzvah. You wake up in the morning, you moed ani, you wake up, until it's yadayim. There's plenty of these outside stimulus. Plenty. So why is it that this month is called Mar Cheshvan? Why should it be Mar? Why should it be bitter when there's so much opportunity for us to be besimcha? And I think the reason is because these are the mitzvahs that come up every single day. They're so common. Yeah, it happens every single day. When was the last time that you had the same kavana, yeah, putting on tefillin as you did stepping into your sukkah for the first night, making kiddush for the first night of sukkahs? Yeah, the kavana that we have, the way that we're able to focus on that simcha, on that joy, is because that comes around once a year. But every single the day in and the day out and the daily grind, and we come to that stuff, it's very hard for us to focus on experiencing that simcha. That's the machshava. That's the thought process. That's that we've got to focus. We've got to be there. We've got to be present. We've got to be real with these mitzvahs that we are mekayim. I heard a one-liner from Reb David Orlovsky in America, amazing one-liner, which I think is so powerful, which is, he says that most people do what most people do because that's what most people do. Yeah? Most people do what most people do. That's what most people do. That's just what you do. Right? Which means that we go through life and there's so much that we do, right? We're doing it, but we're not necessarily doing it because we're there and we're present and we're focused and we're just doing it because that's what you do, right? Because that's what most people do. We're just following along, and we're not putting the necessary thought into why it is that we're doing what we're doing, or the fact that we're doing what we're doing, right? We're just doing it without having the machshava in there. Of course, memela, we're not going to experience the connection that is required to those actions, to those things that we are doing. One of my hobbies is you know, when you ask someone, how are you, right? Which is just small talk. You know, you go into a shop and you say, how are you? Good morning, how are you? Right? And what's the usual response? What do people usually respond to that? Yeah, out in the shops, what do they say? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, okay. And how about when you go to Tesco's, what do they say? Good? Yeah, not the people. What do they say?
Not bad.
Not bad, yeah? I love it. So they say not bad, and they say, wow. Yeah, I always, this is my pet hobby, yeah? I always follow up and say, wow. Like, what's wrong? Like, seriously, like, not bad. That's like, wow, seriously, what happened? Like, what's wrong? Not bad. Yeah? I love it because it makes them cringe. Yeah, and then they actually have to stop for a moment, and then they actually have to think, one second, why is it that I said that? Because what do they say? What do they do? They just said, there's a small talk, there's an algorithm, yeah? Good morning, good morning. How are you? Not bad. Yeah, this, that. Can I get your credit card? Can I get your, yeah? There's just an algorithm, there's a process, there's the things that we just say. And every single person that comes after me in that queue that said, how are you? They'll just say, not bad. Yeah, they'll say exactly the same thing. So I challenge that process, I challenge that algorithm, I challenge them to actually stop and think for a moment, actually, how am I, how are you? I said, I didn't just say, how are you for the small talk, I said, how are you, because they're actually interested, how are you? And then they have to stop, they have to think. Usually they say, because I'm working or something, you know, which is also just a pre-programmed like answer, right? I'm working, so work means bad, yeah, so not bad, I'm not terrible, but... I saw somewhere that, as we mentioned, that the Goyen says that the mitzvah of being with simcha, of ach sameach, this constant simcha throughout Sukkot, but also that we can extend it to our lives, is the hardest mitzvah. I saw somewhere also that writes that it's the easiest mitzvah. Yeah, it's the easiest mitzvah and it's the hardest mitzvah at the same time. The easiest mitzvah, because there's so many things, right? How difficult is it to be besimcha? How difficult is it to smile when you hear a good joke? Yeah, how difficult is it to feel the simcha when we're at a chasna of a close relative? How difficult is it to be besimcha, yeah, when you're experiencing good things? Right? There's many good things that have to, and it's the easiest mitzvah. Very, very easy. It's very, very easy to feel simcha. But again, at the same time, if there's not the external stimulus, if we don't have those outside things, the things which memela make us happy, the things which the simcha comes easily, then we're not going to experience that simcha. It's going to be much harder for us to be on a level of experiencing simcha. So I'm going to give one etza that we can maybe focus on and we can think about to hopefully help us to increase our levels of simcha during this time of Mar Cheshvan, during this time to counteract the bitterness of Cheshvan with simcha. And the Eitzah is, I think it's good for this crowd here. Can we have some smiley people here? Right, we asked you all to smile right at the beginning. Can we get some more smiles? Okay, so Reb Zelig Pliskin, and if you've heard of him, he's an author of many wonderful books, and he actually was nominated to enter in the Happiness Hall of Fame. I didn't realize there was such a thing, but he's in the Happiness Hall of Fame. Reb Zelig Pliskin. He says he's got some rules for life. Yeah, some rules for life. And one of his rules for life is: I smile and wave at mirrors; they always smile and wave back to me. He actually doesn't even just do it to mirrors. He'll be on the other side of the road and he'll see a crowd of people and he'll wave at them and smile at them, because they're all going to look around. They're going to be like, oh, is he waving at me? Like, presumably he's waving at someone, so he's not going to feel awkward about that. So he just uses any opportunities that he can to smile and to wave. A smile is gewaldig. A smile is a gewaldig kazach, a chiyuch. A smile is the most incredible thing, and it has the most amazing kayach of helping us to feel simcha. There is a release of hormones that happens when you smile. There's actual scientific, there's actual physiological stuff that happens inside your body. There's release of hormones. There's dopamine, which is released when you smile, which increases feelings of happiness. There is serotonin, which is released when you smile, which reduces the feelings of stress. This all happens just from a smile, just like that. The highest level, though, is when we can bring that smile, and we can bring that smile to another person. When you can bring that smile, you have your smile, you've got your simcha, you've got your experience in your simcha, but then you can bring that to another person. Sharing that joy also is a key to help us experience the joy. Rabbi Avigdor Miller explains the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Hevi Mekabel is Kol Ha'odom B'Seva Ponim Yofes. He says it's a three-step process. Three-step process. B'Seva Ponim Yofes. B'sever, Rabbi Victor Miller explains, B'sever is Lashon Svara. Svara is, it's a thought process. As we explained, it's a thought process. You're just smiling because, you don't smile because there's no thought. Smiling with a thought, if it's thought out, if there's kavana, if there's intent, if there's a process that I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to smile now at this person. I remember when I was living in Eretz Yisrael, and I was living in Harnof, and we had a hasa'ah to go to Kodal in the mornings. And we were on this hasa'ah, and we had the same driver every single day, day in, day out. His name was Doron, and he picked us up in the morning, and he dropped us off at the Kodal. He picked us up in the afternoon, and he dropped us off back at home. And every day, obviously, you know, we learn manners, right? We all have good manners. We're all English, and, you know, have nice manners. And I'm not alluding that anyone doesn't have. Not non-English people don't have manners. But we've got our good manners, yeah? So you go out of the hasa'ah, and you say, thank you, right? So today I'm going to say, this morning I'm going to say, thank you, toda. Yeah, in the afternoon I'm going to say, toda rabba. And then the next day I'm going to say, mamash toda rabba. There's only so many permutations of, like, thank you that you can say. And then, after a while, it always gets a bit awkward to be saying, like, thank you every single day in the same way to the same person. And it starts becoming meaningless. It's meaningless. It's just a word. It's a word that you have to say because I am taught, so I have my manners. That's my algorithm. Yeah, that's my algorithm. I get a hasa'ah, I say thank you. Yeah, someone does a table for me, I say thank you. That's the, yeah, and then they say, you're welcome. Yeah. One day, I thought to myself, actually, I took a moment to think for myself, because I was getting a bit awkward about this thank you thing every day, and I took a moment to think to myself about Doron, and about this guy's life, and about the fact that he, every single day, he drives through the traffic, yeah, and he comes and picks us up. We mess him around a little bit, because usually it's like five stops throughout Harnof, all up and down. Usually there's someone that's late and he's got to stop and, you know, make him late and everything. And I took a moment to think about the fact that I'm actually appreciative to Doron for giving me a lift to Kaif. It would take me an hour on the bus, and this guy takes me there in 15 minutes. Amazing. And I took a moment before saying thank you to him, and I stopped, and I said, Doron, toda rabba. And he looked at me, and he was touched. He was mamash touched. What happened? It's exactly the same words, exactly the same toda rabba. Nothing changed, exactly the same. But it's the savor. It's the savor, it's the svara. It's the thought process. And through that thought process, you can really connect to a person. That's the savor. The next step is the ponim. Ponim el ponim. Ponim el ponim. Yeah? You can smile, you're looking around with a smile, but if you connect to a person, you look at a person and smile at them. Right? Look at the person, ponim el ponim. Kamayim ponim ponim. Kain leiv ha'odam ha'odam. Yeah, that is our ability to connect to a person, to connect to a person's heart, is through the ponim, through the beautiful ponim, through our beautiful ability to connect and look at a person in the eyes and give them that smile. And finally, we've got the yofis. The yofis is the beautiful smile. A beautiful smile. They tell them, I love this maisa. Just the visualization. If you visualize this maisa, it's just amazing. They tell a maisa of Bisrael Salanta that once he was in his office by himself, and someone knocked on the door and, you know, opened the door and went in, and they saw him holding a mirror. Yeah, he was holding a mirror in front of his face, and he was making all sorts of, like, funny facial contortions or something. But stamazay, a mirror, like, what's the golden bal musa, you know, the meyase, the musa, what's pasnish, yeah, looking in a mirror. So the Talmud asked him what he's doing. He said he's practicing his smile. He's practicing his smile. He's sitting in front of a mirror practicing his smile. When do we do that? You know, what does your smile look like? Do you know what your smile looks like? Do you know how you're able to give a nicer smile? Right? Is it that, like, lopsided, like one little smile? Do you show any teeth? Yeah? There's different smiles that we can have. And our smiles are going to affect a person. Right? We're looking at a person. We've got the svara. We've got the ponim el ponim. But if you've got a sour face, it's not going to help. Yeah, work on your smile. Develop your smile. Build your smile. You've got a lovely smile. So build that smile. That is the one etzah that we can have that will help us to build these levels of simcha, to experience the simcha in this marit, in this merirus, in this bitterness of cheshvan. It's not a mitzvah to be bitter. There is no mitzvah to be bitter. There is no mitzvah to be bitter. The mitzvah is to be besimcha. The mitzvah is to be besimcha, regardless of what time of year it is. Yes, there are times when we find it easier. There are times where we've got the external stimulus. There are times there's a matzah, there's a situation which we feel joy, which we feel happy. I was at a chasna yesterday of an older couple, both of them from a second marriage, a beautiful simcha. Beautiful, beautiful simcha. Memela, I felt the simcha. But then afterwards, yeah, I go home and it's late, yeah, and the kids are all wild and, you know, they haven't had supper and there's, you know, bath time and bedtime and all that stuff. Okay, as memela, I don't have that stimulus of simcha, so I'm allowed to get down. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. We may not have the external stimulus, but all we need to do is to focus. If we find that focus, if we can focus on our machshava, then we can come to a place of being besimcha. Smiling can help. Smiling has the ability, the beautiful ability to help us. We smile at a person, it releases the hormones. We've got that dopamine and the serotonin and all the good stuff. We can share that smile with another person, and then that comes right back at me. Yeah, because I smile at them, they're going to smile back at me. Ah, someone's smiling at me. I can smile and wave at mirrors. That also helps. The smiling has got to be done, b'seva ponim yafis, has got to be done with the svara. It's got to be thought out. Just like our story with Doron, we can stop, we can take a moment, we can say thank you, we can stop, we can take a moment, and we can smile at a person. That is going to be the highest level of smile, with the ponim, making the eye contact. Kain lev ha'odom el ha'odom, we can really connect with a person. And finally, with the yofis, practice your smile, build your smile, grow your smile, and turn it into the most beautiful smile. And be'ezvas Hashem, we'll be able to take those smiles, we'll be able to take that machshava, that thought process, and experience this mila, this incredible darga of being besimcha, even when there's none of this external stimulus, even when as the trees are going dark and it's getting dark and the sun is going down, and it's getting to this wintry, this cold time, we can experience the level of simcha. And as the Baal Shem Tov says, most beautiful thing, says that simcha, that tefillah has an amazing ability, a kayach of tefillah, to connect to Rabbeinu Shalom. You're mamash speaking to Hashem. Mamash speak, baruch ato Hashem. You're speaking to Hashem. An amazing ability to connect to Rabbeinu Shalom. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard to connect with tefillah. It's hard to feel that Hashem is there. It's hard to feel that Hashem is listening. So there's a certain limitation in the ability that tefillah has of connecting to Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov says that the kayach of simcha is even greater than tefillah in its ability to connect us to Hashem. If a person feels besimcha, they feel besimcha, everything is made. Hashem, I love you. I love you, Hashem. This is amazing. Life is good. Life is good. When life is good, we feel good. We feel the blessings. We feel the brachas from the Rabbeinu Shalom. But Ezra Hashem will take this simcha as an avoider, our avoider of Mar Cheshvan. We will make the bitter, turn it into sweet. And but Ezra Hashem will be zeicha to a Shana Toiva, Masuka, maybe something like that, the sweet stuff. Let's go.